from KQED.
Here, in a small shed on the Stanford University campus, is one of the most advanced Volkswagen Passats you'll ever meet.
The trunk is completely full of computing and electronics, but it still seats four or five people comfortably.
Mike Montemurlo is a co-leader of the Stanford Racing Team. The team is kind of like a pit crew of software engineers. That's because their race car is more brains than brawn.
So this is Junior. This is Stanford's entry into the 2007 DARPA Grand Challenge.
The competition was created by the Pentagon's research division, known as the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. The agency has set an ambitious goal. By 2015, it wants one-third of military ground vehicles to be unmanned. The military already uses unmanned planes for reconnaissance in the Iraq War, but now they're looking to reduce casualties on the ground. Norman Whitaker is the program manager for the DARPA Challenge.
The thing that really inspires us when we think about all the threats that people face on the ground is that it's such an evolving threat. The idea of the autonomous vehicles really is an end run around all that. It says, you know, you really can't get us if we're not in the vehicle at all.
To spur the innovation needed for robotic cars, DARPA created a 132-mile race through the Mojave Desert and invited anyone to develop a robot to run it. In 2004, no one finished. In 2005, it was Stanford's car, Stanley, that surged past a Carnegie Mellon team to win the $2 million prize. This year, DARPA decided to simulate an urban environment. The challenge? To finish a 60-mile course complete with intersections and traffic circles on a former Air Force base.
We realized that, you know, any kind of realistic mission would always begin and end in a place where there were other vehicles around. And so we started this idea of working in a dynamic environment where there was traffic and, you know, pedestrians.
The Stanford team has developed a much more advanced robotic vehicle, named Junior, able to recognize and drive with other cars. With Google and Red Bull logos on the side, the blue station wagon is also packed with radars and lasers.
So Junior sees the world using eight laser rangefinders. The one on top is our primary sensor.
In order to drive, the first thing the Stanford car has to do is, well, see. Mike Montemurlo says Junior uses the lasers to send out a blanket of invisible beams in every direction. The time it takes for the laser to bounce back tells the car how far it is from its surroundings. To see how it works, we take the car for a spin. Unmanned cars aren't allowed to drive on the streets of Palo Alto, so another engineer takes the wheel. Montemurlo watches a monitor from the back seat.
We're seeing a 3D rendering of Junior's understanding of the world. So you see the car, but then around the car you see the sensor data.
Montemurlo is viewing what looks like a video game. Actually, it's the computer-generated 3D model of the streets we're driving on. Red and yellow warnings help the car identify stationary and dynamic, or moving, obstacles.
Here's that car following us here. It's picked up as a dynamic car.
So what happens when the robot makes the driving decisions? We head to a large empty parking lot next to Google headquarters in Mountain View, where Junior does his test runs. The team hits a few switches, and suddenly, the robot is in charge. At first, it's a little unnerving to watch a steering wheel move by itself.
So now he's going to take a left at the intersection here.
The car pauses for a moment and then swings around into a parking place. Though the robot is programmed for a top speed of 30 miles per hour, Junior is not a timid driver.
It's kind of like driving with a teenage driver.
He's still not very smooth, but we hope that he's reasonably safe.
Back on solid ground, Montemurlo explains the complex programming they used to teach Junior the rules of the road, but they also had to teach him to break the rules.
You want Junior to follow all the traffic rules, but there are times where you have to break a rule in order to make progress. So if there's a car double parked on the side of the road, you may have to cross over the double yellow line just a little tiny bit to go around them.
Despite the challenges, Montemurlo sees a prominent civilian future for artificially intelligent vehicles.
Over 40,000 people die in traffic accidents every year in the United States, and the majority of those are caused by some form of human error. And it's a long way off, but if you could imagine if a robot car were safer than a human driver, then you could actually reduce that number.
Montemurlo and other scientists say that robotic cars could one day help elderly and disabled drivers be more independent. They may even reduce traffic congestion by allowing vehicles to drive much closer together. For Quest, I'm Lauren Summer, KQED Radio News.